You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Richard Kaufman, Paul Eales and Ron Jones.
Hello and welcome to the Race to Dubai show as Henrik Stenson wins his first major in style with a record-breaking 20-under par three-shot victory at the 145th Open Championship.
Close, close, and in for Henrik Stenson. What a way to win the Open Championship. A birdie on the 18th, and Henrik Stenson wins the Open.
And we'll hear from Henrik Stenson in a few minutes' time. The Swede was locked in an epic battle with runner-up Phil Mickelson on what was truly an incredible final round at Royal Troon.
I got outplayed. Henrik played some incredible golf, made 10 birdies today, final round of a major. He's one of the best ball strikers that we have, and he struck at some of his best this week, I think. I enjoyed having the opportunity to go head-to-head with him.
So stay with us for a full and comprehensive review of all the action from the 145th Open Championship. I'm joined by former European Tour player Paul Eales and by commentator, broadcaster Ron Jones. There's so many superlatives that we could use. I'll let you try and grab a few. Paul, first of all, it was a day that had everything and a bit more.
Yes, it did. Starting from the very, very first hole, a little mistake from Henrik, and we thought, oh dear, what's going to happen here? Is it all going to implode? But as Bernard Langer once said to me, some of his best rounds have ever happened after making a bogey on the first, and that's what we witnessed some 4 hours later. Just the most sensational display of ball striking, composure, course management, you name it, it was all in there. Not only from our champion Henrik Stenson, but also from Phil Mickelson, who fought all the way.
It is very reminiscent, really, of what happened back in 1977 in some respect, Ron, wasn't it? Because there's an 11-shot gap between second and third, as there was in 77, when, of course, Watson and Nicklaus duelled it out. And the quality of golf was equal to that as well.
I think it was, Richard. I mean, that's gone down in history. Books have been written about it, the duel in the sun, and it was great. Two great, great golfers, two of the all-time greats going head-to-head. Some wonderful, wonderful golf. Well, I think it was probably matched today by these two. Phil Mickelson, five times a major champion. Henrik Stenson aiming for his first title. And on an afternoon which turned out to be absolutely glorious, because we've had some awful weather here, of course. We've had the whole lot, haven't we, one way or another, with rain and high winds. Some lovely sunshine on the first day. But again, it suddenly became pretty benign. The wind went down, sun came out, and these two produced some golf, the like of which, you know, most of us have not seen in the past. It was just enthralling to see these two great players go head to head, striking the ball so cleanly, hitting the ball so accurately, hitting fairways, hitting greens, and then sinking putts. They went toe to toe like two great boxers in a title fight. First one took the lead, then the other. Mickelson, just when you thought he'd be falling back, came back again. Stenson did the same, just as you thought. Stenson, what's he going to do? Is he going to fall back? No. Back he came, birdie after birdie, blow after blow, and then suddenly, I think it was the 15th, wasn't it, Henrik Stenson holed a putt of, 40, 45 feet, or whatever it was, into the hole it went, and that really gave him a two-stroke lead, and on he went to win the claret jug. It's something certainly I don't think those who were here at Royal Troon will ever forget.
Absolutely. Well, let's have a listen back, shall we, how this amazing final day unfolded, as you say, between two golfing heavyweights at Royal Troon.
Simple little tap in from less than 18 inches. Phil Mickelson goes to 12 under par.
Oh, straight at the flag. What a beautiful shot from Henrik Stenson.
Well, they've just looked in the rear view mirror and they can't see anyone behind them, can they?
In for Mickelson, an eagle, and he retakes the lead. Stenson leads, Mickelson leads.
Oh, has he judged that well or what, Ron? What a golf shot from Phil Mickelson.
Flag comes out, it's close. Oh, it's gone in, Henrik Stenson.
Oh. You've got to laugh at the moment, haven't you? This is getting ridiculous.
Well, this is the decisive shot, really, because nothing Mickelson can do will make any difference. There it is, onto the green.
Close, close, and in for Henrik Stenson. What a way to win the Open Championship.
A fitting finale, really, holding that putt across the 18th. Just to remind you, a round of 63, the lowest final round to win an Open Championship. Greg Norman's 64 at Royal St George's beaten. Only Johnny Miller has shot a final round that low to win a major before. 20 under par, the lowest score under par to win an Open, beaten Tiger's effort in 2000 at St Andrews. It was quite incredible. Let's hear then from our new Open champion, Henrik Stenson.
It's going to take a little while for it to sink in, that's for sure, but I've tried hard, I've tried many times, and it feels great to come out on top. And what a battle it was with Phil. I knew he wasn't going to back down the slightest, and I had to perform at my very best, and I'm just delighted I managed to do that.
Just give us an idea of what it felt like coming down that stretch, that inward half of 31 to win the Open.
Well, I had to just try and stay in the moment, hit my spots and my shots, and I did that pretty well, and then just made a couple of bombs, especially the one on 15, and crucial was, I mean, he's so close to making that eagle on 16. I knew I had to make up and down, and then again I have an opportunity on 17 to close it out, but he makes a great par save. I just nearly missed my birdie, and then it was still game on up the last, and got a bit lucky with that tee shot that is pulled up just short of that bunker.
So many near misses in the majors. You've been third in an Open, you've been second in an Open. What does it feel like right now to be clutching that trophy?
It feels great. It's been a long wait. You know, I haven't had that many close calls. I've had some great finishes, but it's been a couple of chances, and Phil put four birdies together in the last six holes to win at Muirfield. I stood there with the second spot, and I now managed to do the exact same and make four birdies in the last five holes to clinch this one.
Yeah, Ian Carter putting the questions there to the champion, Henrik Stenson. I mean, that's the point, isn't it, Paul, really? You know, here was a guy we asked heading out. He'd never led going into the final round of a major before. He'd never, obviously, then led going into the back nine of a major before. But to go and then shoot just 31 shots on a very tough back nine like this, that's incredible. Not only ability with his golf game, but mental ability as well.
Yes, the resilience there. He's had it all the way through his career. But just the quality, the absolute quality of the shots that he's hit. He missed three fairways by matter of feet. He missed one green by my calculations by a matter of inches. He had 29 putts in a 63, 10 birdies in the final round. He was driven all the way to the heights by Phil Mickelson. I'm absolutely certain of that. The two of them going toe-to-toe. And it wasn't until the 15th that there was a bit of daylight. But even then, there was almost a little twist in the tail, as he said there, with Phil nearly making eagle at 16. It's been an absolute privilege to watch these two great champions deliver up some of the finest golf we have ever seen.
No doubt at all about that, Paul. You know, in terms of Phil Mickelson, I think when people look back on this championship, if they're just looking at scorecards and how it's gone over the 4 days, the one thing they will probably think, an aggregate of 20 under par has won it. Conditions must have been great. You know, we must have had 4 days of benign, no wind conditions.
Like Tiger in 2000.
Like Tiger in 2000, exactly. But it hasn't been like that. You know, we had a lovely warm day to begin with, but then we had 2 days of really high winds and torrential rain at times. And today started out, it was pretty blustery.
It was, yeah.
It became benign towards the end. But we've had 4 days of varying weather, and our winner, Henrik Stenson, has shot an aggregate of 20 under par. Phil Mickelson, by my reckoning, only had four bogeys all week.
Yeah, I mean, he was bogey-free today, shoots a 65, started the day one shot off the lead, and he hasn't won. But I think the fact is that the next best player after them has finished at 6 under par. That's the kind of score you might expect given the conditions that we've had.
It's the world's best players that are assembled here, and they've lapped the field, haven't they?
Yeah.
The two of them have absolutely lapped the field.
240-somethings as well. You've got a feel for Phil, really, haven't you? Let's hear from the runner-up, Phil Mickelson, speaking with Rob Nothman.
Phil, is it any consolation that you were involved in one of the greatest battles that golf has ever seen?
No.
But you played well, didn't you?
I played well, and I played really well today. I played bogey-free golf and shot 6 under, but I got outplayed. Henrik played some incredible golf, made 10 birdies today, final round of a major. he's just really a great champion. He's one of the best ball strikers that we have, and he struck at some of his best this week, I think. We've been friends for a while, and I'm happy for him. I'm happy for his success. I wish it wasn't at my expense, but it was a great week, really a fun week, and I enjoyed having the opportunity to go head-to-head with him.
We appreciate your time, Phil. Thanks a lot. Well played.
Thank you.
Yeah, very gracious indeed, Phil Mickelson. You can't write the man off, even if he is 46. You know, we were speculating, will he get another time, another better opportunity than this to win a sixth major? But when you're playing that kind of golf, age is just a number, isn't it, Ron?
Absolutely. And, you know, he will certainly, I would have thought, now make the United States Ryder Cup team.
Oh, that's for sure, yeah.
You know, there's no doubt at all about that. He'll be in that. So that'll be, I think, his 10th appearance in a Ryder Cup. He's got a lot of golf still in front of him, and he seems to still love playing golf. He will, of course, like any other golfer, have his little stretches where he's not quite at his best. But when Phil Mickelson plays his best golf, he will contend. Make no mistake about that. He came here, obviously, with pretty much his A game, and right from the very start, almost shooting that 62 on the first day, that seemed to set him up. And from then on, he just rolled on and on. He led this championship for most of the way, didn't he? You know, he was primarily the leader over the four rounds. It was only right at the end that Henrik was able to catch him, overtake him, and then win. Phil Mickelson, lot more golf to come, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was a wonderful battle, one that will live long in the memory. Let's just run you through the leaderboard, the top 10, if you like. 20 under for Stenson, 17 under for Mickelson, and then all the way down to JB Holmes. A great finish for him. He's best in a major, 69 to finish at 6 under par. 49-year-old Steve Stricker, kind of a part-time golfer nowadays. He keeps his schedule to a minimum. 69 from him to finish in fourth place at 5 under par. Rory McIlroy, a 67. Excellent round today from Rory. He finished on the 4-under par mark alongside Tyrrell Hatton, who's had an amazing couple of weeks, runner-up last week, and now tied for fifth in a major championship. Sergio Garcia with another top 10 in a major, also finish at 4-under par after a 69. Andrew Johnston, what a reception he got down cut the 18th after his round of 73. He finished in 8th spot and tied for 9th. The man who'd won the last two big events, the US Open and the Bridgestone Invitational, Dustin Johnson, 70 to conclude his Open for 2-under par along with Søren Kjeldsen and Bill Haas. Well, I mentioned Rory then. He finished with a bit of a flourish with that 4-under par round today. But the 2014 champion, well, a frustrating week, I suppose. He even snapped his club at one point during the third round. He was asked how difficult it was to keep calm in some testing conditions.
Obviously, it's not that easy. I wouldn't have done that. But yeah, look, it's tough. Look, I feel like I'm one of the calmer people out there. And I think being that calm, you need something as a release, and then you go again. But yeah, look, these things happen. And if I hadn't have played such a bad front nine, I probably wouldn't have been that frustrated. So I just need to play better.
Yeah, well, he's getting towards that form. Watch out for Rory. He looks to be getting towards his best again, doesn't he? I mentioned Tyrrell Hatton. Great story. One of the last men in to the Open Championship. And boy, did he make the most of it. He spoke after his special final round.
You know, that walk up 18 with the packed grandstands was amazing. You know, you dream of that as a little kid. I'm just over the moon with how this week's gone. And, you know, I've taken the confidence from last week, which was, you know, there's a really good field there. And obviously this is the biggest tournament in the world and the best quality, you know, to play as I have, and to be in the position that I'm currently in, you know, is great for me, and I can take a lot of confidence from that going forward.
Yeah, top English golfer to finish this week, Tyrrell Hatton. Another Englishman who lit up this year's Open is Andrew Beef Johnston with his incredibly cheery demeanour. He was asked what he'll remember most about his week at Royal Troon.
Oh, well, first the crowds. I really enjoyed the chip in yesterday on 13 and that, and a few putts to putt hold on the first today. Everyone went mad. There's so many memories this week. I'm going to remember a lot.
He's kind of the golfer of the people, isn't he, in some way, Andrew Johnston? He's touched a lot of hearts this week, Paul.
Yes, he has. And not only is his demeanour warm and welcoming to everybody around, but he's a blooming good golfer too, and getting better. And again, he's been a long journey. You talked about Henrik having a long journey. So has Andrew. He's played on the mini tours, he's been on the main tour, back on the challenge tour, back on. So he's taken that journey and Boy, shouldn't he enjoy this? Brilliant week for him.
Yeah, fantastic. Ron, I mean, you were in the group ahead, but you were getting those, I should say the group behind, but you were getting those cries of beef echoing around the golf course all the time, weren't you?
Well, you get it best of all. You know, when our group was playing the seventh, they were on the postage stamp on the eighth, and they're very adjacent. So Paul and I were able to sort of stand almost between the two, but we were getting as much from the eighth, where beef was about to putt out, you know, as we were from our group, which was just in front of us on the left-hand side. But I think he is so great for golf. Golf needs more players like that. Someone with a bit of character who embrace people, embrace people who love golf. Why are we here? Why do all those crowds come out? Because they love golf. Most of them play golf. Most of them play golf not very well. And they come to see the great golfers. And I just hate it when golfers don't seem to have any time for them, you know. Here is a man who gives them his time, gives of his time, plays exciting golf and enjoys it so much himself, and it just expands into the crowd, into the fans. I think he's great for the game.
Yeah, here, here. Nicely put, Ron. Zach Johnson, the defending champion. Pretty solid defence, finished at one under par overall. Some other notables to give you. Justin Rose, Lee Westwood, the world number one, Jason Day, all finishing at one over par. Of course, Day was one of the favourites coming into this Open, but he could only finish on that one over mark. He's explained why it all went so wrong.
I think the short game let me down this week. I didn't hole the putts that I needed to out there. And then obviously when I put myself in opportunity situations with regards to driving greens and getting around the greens, I didn't get up and down for birdies. And the same thing when I missed greens, I didn't really save myself a lot. And the back nine is difficult, but you just got to play good. If you don't play good on the backside, you're not going to win the tournament. And you know, obviously I came here to try and win the tournament and you know, obviously didn't do that.
Well, in the last two majors, Masters and US Open, Lee Westwood ended up playing in the final round with the winner. That wasn't the case this time, as he was one of those also on that one over par, and he's been reflecting on his Open week.
Yeah, I didn't hit it very well the first 3 days. Hit it a lot better today. Spent a good 2 hours on the range last night with Pete Cowan, hitting balls with my feet together, trying to sync my arms and my body up better, and it worked today. Really struggled in the left to right wind on the back nine most of the week because I've just been getting in front of it and not releasing the club, so it was much better today, and 68 is a good round.
Yeah, Jordan Spieth finished on two over par, but he finished with an encouraging round, 68. So does he think his game has improved as the week's gone on?
I've been feeling like it has. As far as tee to green, has certainly been making some strong moves. And my putting's, you know, normally the strength of my game, and it was just a little off this week. Made a couple putts today, so at least I saw a couple go in. These are just greens that I just never really felt comfortable reading, and so I just didn't put very confident strokes on. So I won't think much of it. I'll look at the positives from the way we struck the ball as we move into ball to draw.
Yeah, Dustin Johnson, Rory McIlroy, Jordan Spieth, Jason Day, never really featured in terms of trying to win this Open Championship. Paul, has a lot got to do with the draw and the way things worked out Thursday, Friday?
I think there's a little bit about that. And as Jordan Spieth said, the greens didn't just suit his eye. So there's two of them gone. Dustin Johnson was up and down. He had his chances, but he didn't have that momentum. We heard from Jason Day saying he just wasn't sharp enough around the greens. Had they have been, could they have beaten what Henrik and Phil did? I don't know. Rory was there, frustrating for him. It can only be one winner, but these lads will come again. They don't become bad players just because they haven't won an Open Championship.
But it's interesting, Ron, that we've got four first-time winners now in a row.
It is, and that's good as well, isn't it? You know, the days when, again, you can't help but mention Tiger, when he, you know, Tiger would win three and who would win the other one? Well, it's great that now we have. What it means is that the strength of the game at the very top is now more widespread, and that must be good. You see, people like Rory, Sergio to a certain extent, Dustin Johnson, okay, they haven't played at their best this week, but they still finished top 10. So they're still, even though they haven't got their best game, even though they haven't really threatened, they are still good enough and they're still competitive enough to finish top 10. So the quality is still there. You know, golf is one of these games where you cannot play with your A game all the time. The same player doesn't win all the time. The same two or three players don't win all the time. And it's great at the moment that the strength in depth at the top of the game of golf is so, so wide and so strong.
Okay, some of the other scores to give you. Martin Kaymer, Bubba Watson finished at 3 over par. Adam Scott at 5 over. Ricky Fowler at 6 over par. Danny Willett at 7 over par. And Brandon Grace at plus 13. One of the feel-good stories, certainly, for this Open was Matthew Southgate after making the cut 1 year on from surgery from testicular cancer. He shot a final round 69. Excellent effort to finish on 1 under par. And he was obviously feeling quite emotional after putting out on the 18th.
It's just been an incredible journey for me. And, you know, walking down the 18th there, I was just in tears, you know, getting clapped up to that 18th green. I'd done well to just make contact with the ball, I think, on the first putt. So, no, it's been a hell of a ride for me. It's had its ups and downs. And to come and finish in the top sort of 15, 16 maybe at the Open is just an incredible achievement. And it's just going to stand me in great stead. You know, I'm going to get some great world ranking points, another massive chunk on the race to Dubai, which is a big goal of mine, to be there competing in Dubai at the end of the season. And to be able to have my parents here and let them see that is incredible.
Yeah, a golfer with obviously a great perspective after what he's been through, Paul. And obviously with a great golf game, he finished top 5 in the Irish Open. You can see how much it means to him when he's playing on the course, when he's rolling those putts in for birdie like he was today. That emotion was coming out, fist pumping, and it really playing to the crowd.
Yeah, it does put it in perspective, Richard, doesn't it, when something like that happens in your career, when he was flying and then suddenly, oh, is this going to be the end? So he's going to cherish these moments even more as he goes, as Henrik will do, because he's had his problems as well with health and injury. So nobody is, you know, going to miss out on having those downs. You've got to be resilient to be a top sportsman.
It's how you react to them, isn't it?
And it's how you react. And every credit to him. And to have his parents, I mean, there would have been floods of tears, I'm sure.
Yeah, fantastic performance from Matt Southgate. Just a brief mention of Royal Troon member Colin Montgomery. He finished at 17 over for the tournament. Of course, hit the first tee shot on Thursday, and as it turned out, on Sunday as well. And the Scot says he's proud of his local town.
It is quite surreal in many ways to see the whole city that it is right now built up from what it was, say, 4 or 5 months ago when they first started building this place. And it is incredible what they've done. It's just bizarre to see areas of the course that you practice on and now becoming shops and marquees and hospitality tents and what have you. It's quite incredible, and they've done a superb job.
Monty obviously proud of his local town, Ron. And, you know, he did well to qualify. I'm sure he won't be too happy with where he finished in the end, but he did make the cut.
Of course he did. And for him, as he rightly said, he wouldn't even have bothered to try to qualify had the Open been anywhere else. But because it was at Troon, because it's where he was brought up, hometown, all the rest of it, he made that effort. And it's not easy, even for, you know, a great golfer, to qualify. You have to go through an awful lot to get here. And that, for him, was his victory, I think. His second victory was actually making the cut, so he played 4 rounds here. OK, he will be disappointed that he wasn't able to contest it, but nonetheless, for Colin Montgomery, it's his little victory as well, isn't it?
Yeah, worth mentioning one other over 50. Finished in the top 20, Miguel Angel Jimenez. How about that? You got some competition next week in the British Senior Open, haven't you, Paul?
Yeah, I don't think they'll be worried about me. But just coming back to Monty, first tee shot, and a horrible double bogey, wasn't it, that he had on the first. But he came back and it was still there in him, that competitive edge. I'm going to make the cut, because that's what he said at the start of the week. If I make the cut, that's my Open Championship. Well done, Monty.
Some of the other players in the top 20, Andy Sullivan, Emiliano Grillo and Gary Woodland, all at 1 under par. Patrick Reed finished at 1 under par. Mentioned Jimenez, Keegan Bradley at level par, as was Charles Schwartzel and Tony Finau. All those players inside the top 20. So, I mean, it seems pretty obvious, guys, but I'm going to ask you the question anyway. Your favourite moments from this Open, what do you think 2016 Troon will go down in memory for?
It'll go down in memory, in my memory, for Henrik Stenson winning, the first Swede to win a major championship, to at last, at 40 years of age, win the Open Championship, and to win it in such style. I'll also remember Phil Mickelson's challenge, the gentlemanly way in which he plays the game. He's a superb golfer, but he does have a very firm regard for what the game is all about. It is far more than just about hitting a golf ball. There are certain things that must be observed in golf, certain traditions that must be observed, and Phil Mickelson is one of those players who observes those certain conditions and also is very aware of what the history of golf is all about. I'll remember Mickelson. Most of all, I'll remember the high quality of golf that Henrik Stenson produced, especially in the final round.
Yeah, I would concur on there that the quality of the golf that not just Henrik had, but also Phil showed us in that final round, listening to your words, watching that putt on the 18th that was never going in from Henrik Stenson, that sort of the golfing gods just knocked into the back door. It reminded me very much of when Seve Hole that putt at St Andrews on the 18th green. That never looked like it was going to go in, but it did. It was the crowning moment and well worth. And then, of course, the embrace between Henrik and Gareth, his caddy at the end, was very, very special.
Yeah, it was indeed. So let's get to those fantasy Race to Dubai tips. And my goodness me, hats off to Dan Roebuck, who not only picked the winner, Henrik Stenson, but he got a top 10 in there as well when he picked Dustin Johnson. Not too shabby from John Hawksworth, but not as good as Dan, obviously. Justin Rose and Brandon Grace were his picks. Both made the cut. Rose finishing in 22nd, Brandon Grace in 72nd. Remember, you can keep an eye on the European Tour website over the next 2 weeks for their Fantasy 3 to watch in the Fantasy Race to Dubai at the King's Cup and USPGA Championship, with extra points available for the final major of the year. To pick your fantasy team, just go to europeantour.com/myeuropeantour. In other news, golf's return to the Olympic Games will see 70% of the men's field bound for Rio comprising of European Tour and Challenge Tour members. 42 players representing 28 countries will be vying for medals at the Olympic course in Rio, including the likes of Henrik Stenson, Danny Willett, Justin Rose and Sergio Garcia. To the Challenge Tour now, and history was made at the Challenge de España on Friday after Italy's Nicola Ravano holed out for an eagle in the final hole to card a 12 under par 59. Ravano becomes only the second person to shoot 59 in European Tour history.
Last eagle was unexpected. You guys obviously didn't clap, so I actually didn't know it was in, but it was a really nice surprise. But every shot today was in a safe position. I just gave myself a lot of opportunities to make birdies, and that's what happened. A lot of putts. I never putted so well in my life, so very happy.
So he should be finished second in the end to Adrien Sadier, who came away as the champion, but he'll never forget shooting a 59, will he, Paul?
No, he won't, Rich. Absolutely brilliant for the young man, and hopefully we'll see him not too distant future on the European Tour.
Yeah, fingers crossed. There is no action on the European Tour next week, but the Senior Tour is the focus of attention with the Senior Open Championship at Carnoustie. So I should say, Paul, are you ready?
I am ready, yes. Always ready to tackle Carnoustie, one of my favourite courses and one of the best courses in the world. Let's hope the weather's fair or else we're in for a real struggle.
Yeah, I mean, what sort of field should we expect? Is it the best players from both sides of the Atlantic and elsewhere?
Pretty much so. I think Tom Watson's going to be teeing it up. Monty will be there. Bernhard, of course, who seems to be winning every week in the States. So lots of European names, familiar names as well from across the Atlantic. It's going to be a great week.
Well, good luck to you as well. But that is all for now. It's a rest week, as we say, on the European Tour, so there's no event. Next week, we'll preview the final major of the year, the US PGA Championship, and also the King's Cup from Thailand, a co-sanctioned event. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook, Snapchat, and Instagram. But for now, from Ron Jones, Paul Eales, and myself, Richard Kaufman, bye-bye.
With a score of 264, the winner of the gold medal and the champion golfer of the year is Henrik Stenson.